Welcome to the Marketing Spotlight, where we share the career journeys of Michigan State University marketing alumni. I'm your host, Katie Sadler, and today with us we have David James. David graduated from MSU in 2005 with his bachelor's in marketing and now is in real estate. David, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
We're really excited to dig into your career path. David, when most people come on the podcast, I normally start by saying you've had a really interesting career path. Can you tell us about it? And I don't know that interesting quite describes it in your case, because you've had kind of a lot of different phases of your career, all in very different spaces. I'm sure you'll talk us through this, but you were the executive assistant for the former CMO of Polo Ralph Lauren. You also worked for Diddy at one point, and then you became a marketing director at an agency out in LA, and now you're in real estate. So lots of different phases. Can you jump right in and tell us about what that career path looked like and how you made all of those transitions?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the way I look at my career path, I kind of put in different buckets, right? And so I consider myself having four different careers over 20 years in three different states. And that really started my time at Michigan State being a student. I really thought that as my first career. When I was at Michigan State, obviously I had a lot of fun, went to almost every football game, basketball game, enjoyed all the extracurricular activities. But one thing that I did while I was there that I think really helped set me up for success was get involved with different student organizations. And so there are two student organizations that I got involved with. One was a business school called General Management Association. And the second was in the apparel design school called Multicultural Apparel Designers and Entrepreneurs. And, you know, while I was a student at Michigan State, you know, my biggest goal was to move to New York City, work in the fashion industry. And I really wanted to kind of pursue those dreams. I discussed with myself and my family and said, well, what can we do here at Michigan State to help set you up for those type of goals, right? And so I think, you know, being involved in a student organization, we had the opportunity then to go to New York, visit Donna Karan, visit different fashion companies, really gain exposure to what it was that I wanted to pursue. Through MADE, Multicultural Apparel Designers and Entrepreneurs, I was able to help produce two fashion shows on campus. We did the fundraising, I did the marketing. Also, I designed my own clothes as well. As a student, I had real life experience in fashion and marketing. And then my junior year, I had an internship in New York City with a very small men's clothing wear company called Yoko Devereaux. And that was my first experience actually living in New York City. Thankfully, I had a cousin who I slept on her couch for the summer. Then I had an internship experience. I had on-campus experience. And then I moved out to New York to help pursue this dream. And, you know, one thing I think a lot of students could probably relate to as well, you know, you want to move to a big city or, you know, you want to work in these industries, but, you know, it's hard to get kind of into the door. So how do you kind of do that? You know, I'd say my second career was, you know, kind of figuring out how do you open those doors in fashion when those doors aren't opening for you? And what are the opportunities that perhaps no one else is looking at? As I was trying to apply for marketing positions in these fashion companies, I was getting no feedback, really. You know, there's no interviews. There was just no real good feedback. And in perspective, looking back, you know, it's just so much competition is going for those very few positions. And especially today's day and age, where fashion companies are even downsizing more in those entry-level positions. I took a different route and I went the administrative role. And there was a magazine called Women's Wear Daily, which is a publication for fashion. And there was the owner of a PR firm was looking for an executive assistant. So I applied for that position just out of a newspaper, really. And, you know, you laugh at that today's age, but it could be on LinkedIn, it could be on social media, but really trying to find those backdoor opportunities. And I was an executive assistant. And, you know, a funny story was in the interview process, I sat down across from this gentleman, his name's Hamilton South. And the first question he asked me was, you know, what do you want to do in your career? And I was kind of, you know, thinking about it. And I've always been a visionary where I think forward many, many steps. And so I told him, I was like, well, you know, one day I'm going to be CMO Ralph Lauren. He kind of looks at me and he's like, what? And I was like, yeah, no, that'd be kind of great. And he's just like, well, then you should definitely work for me because I used to be the CMO Ralph Lauren. Kind of one of those moments where you're just like, wow, you know, that was pretty cool. So I was with him for a year and a half being his executive assistant. Again, we had a lot of fashion clients. And so I was answering the phone for Donna Karan or Anna Wintour or all these, you know, high level fashion people. And I thought that was really cool. It was really great exposure. And then, but I kind of really realized once I was in it that I wanted to kind of pursue other opportunities outside of fashion. Like I like marketing. So I kind of wanted to get a little broader. And one day I was literally reading the New York Times, a newspaper in New York, and there was an article that said Diddy's looking for a personal assistant. And I was like, wow, that'd be a really cool progression. Once I started kind of digging into it and like researching who Sean Combs was as a business person, and I realized there's a lot of connections between who I currently know as Hamilton South's assistant and who Diddy knows as, you know, a mogul and whatnot. I submitted my resume for that opportunity. There was probably, I think, like thousands of people after that article in the New York Times submitted their resumes. I eventually got a call back. And one thing I did do was, again, leverage previous experience. And so I sent my resume out probably two or three times, never got a call back. And so then I added a cover letter, which basically highlighted who my current employer was, kind of who my connections are through him. That really made me stand out. So again, it's like, if you're not getting that feedback, you know, what is the backdoor solution, right? And so I think that's a theme that I've kind of tried to take throughout my career. But long story short, you know, I went through the interview, getting the position, which was really cool. I was with him for 2 years. You know, as a personal assistant, it's different than executive assistant. Executive assistants, you're in the office answering phones, scheduling. As a personal assistant, you're really there waking them up in the morning, putting them to bed at night, everything in between, and making sure that everything runs smoothly. So it was a very cool experience. You know, traveled the world and got exposure to a lot of, you know, different things. But this was probably, you know, 4 years out of school. I've had great, you know, administrative experience, and I just wanted to kind of evolve and use my marketing degree a little bit more from Michigan State. When I ended up, I gave him like a 6-month notice and I winded down, found a replacement. And I went to a company called Attention, which at the time was one of the first social media agencies in New York City. And they were working with huge brands like Mattel, BMW. They helped launch the Onion, which is an online publication. And so I went to work for them just at the entry level, as an entry level account coordinator. But because of my previous 4 years of kind of having business experience, I really progressed quickly through the organization. And within a year being there, they opened up an office in Los Angeles and asked me to move out to Los Angeles to help to grow the office. I went out with one other person. And then over the next probably 4 or 5 years, I again progressed, and eventually was running the LA office for about a year and a half or 2 years. That was cool because, you know, from a social media perspective, we did a lot of first in class things. Like we launched the first Facebook shopping boutique for Rachel Roy and Estelle on Facebook. We did Barbie and Ken. We helped them get back together on social media, you know, which is pretty cool. And that was a, you know, really great experience. Corporate world, you work with corporations and big companies and big budgets, and that was a lot of fun. And then probably 2015 or so, then my wife and I decided we wanted to have kids and start a family. We wanted to move back to the East Coast. And so transitioning back to the East Coast, you know, I really, you know, thought about, okay, you know, this is wonderful. I'm, you know, running an agency. Do I want to kind of continue that path, or do I want to kind of evolve into something else? And, you know, I think always from the beginning, you know, it's always kind of pushed me is to help, you know, serve other people and to help other people. And, you know, I was like, what could I do that has administrative background, has a marketing background, and that you could help people one-on-one, like individually help people? Because I think that's what was missing for me working on the agency side. It was, I wasn't like, I was helping companies, but I wasn't really helping day-to-day people. And so for me, real estate was a natural transition into that. And so I moved back to New York City with my wife. We had our first son. I started with a company called Nest Seekers, which is a high-end luxury real estate firm. They also have a TV show called Million Dollar Listing New York. And I did real estate there for about 2 years. And then now I'm back in Michigan, in Northville, which is a suburb of Detroit. And I've been selling real estate with Keller Williams for almost 4 years here back in Michigan. That's kind of at a high level, the progression of my career.
So David, I want to jump right in and ask you about networking, because you can't have the career that you had without being a really strong networker. What advice do you have on how to maintain strong networking skills and build your network in order to kind of move into some of these really prestigious industries?
To be honest with you, everything that I did and everything I was able to do was because of networking, right? So at a high, and it was just kind of rewind really quickly, but at Michigan State, like networking with different faculty, different administration, your own students as you're running student government and student bodies. And so networking across peers and then up and down the organization helped me achieve everything that I did at Michigan State. One of the side stories of the Diddy situation was when I was interning in New York that summer, I went to a fashion show, a Sean John fashion show, and I networked with a lot of the people that worked for Sean John, and I ended up meeting the head of the HR department, this woman named Basha Dunlap, really nice lady. and I got a business card as an intern. And then, you know, 3 or 4 years later, whatever it was, when I applied for that position for Diddy, and I never got a call back, the cover letter I talked about, I sent that to Vashta. That was the reason why I got the call back. And so again, networking, it's like, it's so powerful. And I think the interesting about networking is you have no idea the connections you make, especially in college, right? Over these next 3, 4, 5 years, how they evolve over the course of your career, and you really build that network. I guess my advice would be, you know, take advantage of as many opportunities you can to network. Definitely stay in touch with people, reach out to them. It's everything. I mean, it's such a big part of your career for sure.
And what would you say your time in New York and LA taught you about marketing? Because with both of those cities, you're in very fast-paced environments, a lot happening at any given time. So what did those experiences teach you about marketing that maybe you didn't learn in the classroom at Michigan State?
The biggest thing is there's so many different levels to marketing, right? And I think, you know, in the classroom, you learn at a very high level, almost like a CEO or CMO, of how to run a marketing department or what's the strategy behind the marketing department. First thing you learn is when you start out in the real world, you know, you are the person that's at the very bottom putting those outputs out, right? So you're not even really developing the strategy. You're just doing an output. I think learning all the different layers to that, and like there's inputs, there's optimization, there's strategy, there's just so many different layers to a marketing mix, and seeing big companies and the teams they have, the strategy they do, it's fascinating. You know, I'd say you're living in New York, but you're still doing marketing plans for companies in Detroit. It is that mentality. I would say living in those big cities, you also realize just how competitive it is. And you really got to push yourself to stay competitive and to stay relevant. Realize that living in big cities.
And I know a lot of students want to move out to New York when they graduate, or they want to move out to LA. Would you say that living in those cities was everything that you expected it to be? And maybe what was unexpected about that experience?
Absolutely. You know, I really say this to this day, you know, when you're coming out of school, you know, it is the opportunity to take the biggest risk, right? To go pursue those dreams, pursue those goals, because you have so much less to lose than you do when you're older, or you have kids or your family or other obligations. Or so I think looking back, you know, I wouldn't do it any other way. It's interesting. I settled back in Michigan, the Midwest, and now it's great. I have 2 kids. I have a beautiful wife. You know, it's like a great place to, you know, grow a family. But the one thing that I learned in both those cities, really everything, it takes time. Everything takes a lot longer than you think it's going to take. It's not easy. You have a goal and you have a dream of going A, and then you end up, you know, in a big city, and you might end up being a waiter for 6 months or a bartender or something to get that going. And I think a lot of people don't plan for that, or they don't kind of learn to survive, I guess, if you will, in those cities.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Need for persistence, especially when you move out to a city like that, of just knowing what you want, being relentless about going after it, and to your point, just being patient and making sure that you're giving it the chance that it needs in order to really happen. So yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And David, as you transitioned into real estate, I'm sure that you have to use your marketing skills in real estate every day. So how did your marketing career translate into your success in real estate?
Yeah, and it's a great question. And I mean, that's really how I define my business in real estate, is a marketing approach. You know, and I think that is one thing I talk to my customers about, my clients about a lot of times, is I'm not a professional salesman. There's realtors out there who've been selling real estate for 20 years, and that's all they know is how to sell real estate and the things to say and, you know, the tricks to use. And my approach is very different, where I meet with the owner, I learn about the unique features of a home, I highlight them through photography and video, and really sell those points and market the property and try to bring in customers. With real estate, it's like anything. If you walk through a home and you've got that good vibe, and like, it's, you know, you don't need to sell somebody that. They either love it or don't. It's about creating enough awareness though for the listing or your current homes to get people in the door. And so that's the strength of mine. And to your point, you can do any job once you learn the basics of marketing, right? And how it relates to so many different industries. It's all, you know, same principles, if you will.
Yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. I think marketing is foundational to really any job in business, because even if you're not in a marketing function, you're marketing yourself every day and how you're networking and working with other people. So David, is there anything that you would go back and do differently from your time at Michigan State if you could?
You know, I don't think so. You know, I feel like walking out of Michigan State, I left it all on the floor, right? I was there for 5 years, so I took advantage of that, the fifth year. I think that was really important for me. You know, I wouldn't have changed that. My first year, you know, I wasn't in the classroom enough. You'd say change that, but I overcame a lot because of it and got to the business school and made the honor roll a few times. So yeah, I think every mistake you make, you learn from, you grow, and it becomes part of you, you know? So there's nothing that I would say I would change. I appreciate everything, you know, at my time at Michigan State, and it's all good memories.
I think that's the answer that hopefully everybody would have, that we might not make all the perfect moves, but we're happy that they happen because we learn a little bit, as you said, along the way. David, one last question for you. Is there any additional advice that you would want to give students?
Yeah, you know, I think my biggest advice is just to have that long-term goal and a long-term vision. And sometimes like, well, I don't know, like what job I want to do, or, you know, where I want to live. And I think if you have that long term, like, well, what is it? How do you want to end your career? Like, you know, start there. What do you want to be known for? Or what do you want to accomplish? And then from there, just be really patient and always move forward, even if it's a little bit at a time. So for example, if you want to move to New York City and work in fashion like I did, and you think that's the end goal, well, you know, maybe you can take a local internship in Detroit. Maybe you can get a local resource to help build that up. And I think a lot of people want to just jump to the end goal. It doesn't work that way. You know, and if you do try to work that way, you'll realize like, oh, well, that's why I'm not this end goal, because the people you're competing with there are so far ahead of where you think you are. So I think be patient, have that end goal, and just keep pushing forward. And you'll be surprised, you know, how far you can go in life.
Awesome, David. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And for our listeners who are interested in connecting with David, you can find him on LinkedIn. Make sure you also check out our other episodes of the Marketing Spotlight. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and almost anywhere else you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next time.